For years, there's been different studies that occur on a whole bunch of different things throughout life. You can find studies for everything. One of them that occurred just a couple years ago that kind of ties in with where I'm going today is this. Researchers found, and this doesn't really surprise me because I know I do this myself a lot. They found that 90% of drivers rely on GPS even when they're pretty sure they know where they're going. So, like, I don't know if you do this, but like, I have a trip that I do on a monthly basis, and it's a couple hours away. I know exactly where I'm going on that trip. I don't need the directions of the GPS, but I still plug it in there, and I plug it in for a couple different reasons. One of them is because if people are doing a good job, they're telling you where the police are hiding, and that helps you out on the trip. The other reason is if there's a detour along the way, or if there's an accident along the way, and you end up having to veer off or whatever, it allows you to then get corrected and get new directions to wherever you're going. There's that lovely voice, right, that comes on and maybe a little bit smug tells you that it's recalculating your directions to get to your destination. And I think that the interesting thing is when that takes place, the destination that I've entered in doesn't change at all. But the way we get to that destination is what changes. And as we step into a new year, many of us feel like life has maybe over the course of 2025, 2024, 2023, it's just extended from one year to the next, and into this one. Maybe life has been recalculating a little bit in your life. Plans haven't gone exactly how you expected, how you anticipated last year. Maybe some prayers were answered differently than you had hoped for. Maybe some seasons took longer than you had planned. And for some of us, you're still asking God, are you sure that this is the way that I'm supposed to be going? Like, is this actually going to get me to where you want me to be at the end of this? I think the good news is this: God has not lost the destination for your life. For my life, He is still guiding His people, sometimes through unfamiliar routes. However, I believe He's always directing us towards His promises. And that's exactly what we see in Isaiah 43, in Jeremiah 29, in Philippians chapter 3. These passages, they remind us, really, that faith is about remembering God's faithfulness in the past, persevering through the present sometimes, and pressing forward into the future that God is preparing for each of us. And that's what we're going to spend this first Sunday of 2026 kind of focusing on, talking on, is the importance of remembering the past, persevering through the present, and then pushing forward, pressing forward into God's future plans for our lives. Lord God, we come to You this morning. We know that You are in this place. Father God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would just cover this congregation. I would pray, Heavenly Father, that You would move amongst us, that You would speak into our lives. I certainly don't know the story of everybody sitting in here this morning, but I know the story of a lot of people, or at least parts of those stories. And I know for a fact that so many folks, as they've come through this last year, they have had the unexpected. They've had the challenges. They've had the things that we just talked about, right? The prayers that were answered differently than we had hoped for. Or the season of life that took longer than we had planned for. And I pray, Lord God, that as we talk about these things this morning, that you would use them to bring reassurance into each of our lives that you are in control, that even when our route is replanned, our destination stays the same. So Father God, speak into our hearts today. Allow us to hear from you, to be encouraged from your holy word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing we're going to talk about is remember God's promises from the past. If you were here last Sunday, we took time to do this corporately as a church where we just shared God's faithfulness. And it is such an important thing that we do. As we talk about remembering God's promises from the past, I'm going to have you turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. You're going to go to verse 1. It's going to be page 514 if you're using one of the church Bibles found under the chair in front of you. Before Isaiah 43, the prophet Isaiah has been addressing Israel's spiritual condition and their coming judgment, really, while also reminding them of God's sovereignty and long-term purposes. In the two chapters preceding Isaiah 43, in chapter 40, 41 and 42, really, God speaks comfort to his people who are either already in exile or facing it because of their persistent disobedience and idolatry. Israel has failed to live as God's faithful servant. They have been spiritually blind and deaf, ignoring his covenant. As a result, discipline has come, not because God abandoned them, but because he is holy and faithful to his word. And then by the end of Isaiah 42, Israel is described as plundered, trapped, and suffering, acknowledging that their situation is the consequence of sin, but not the end of the story. Because there comes a major changing point, a major turning point right in the beginning of chapter 43. In Isaiah 43, verse 1, it begins with two incredibly powerful words. But now. But now. It's a shift from discipline to redemption. After naming their failure, God reasserts his covenant love, reminding Israel that they belong to him, are known by name, and are not forgotten. And after those words, God makes this promise in the second half of verse 1. Right? He gives reassurance, not rebuke. The verse goes, but now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. This, I would suggest, is a recalculating moment in their story. God doesn't say, you are mine because you performed well this year. God says, you are mine because I redeemed you. Redemption means that the price has already been paid. We don't earn our way into God's future. We walk into it because of what he has already done for us. And I want you to notice this promise that follows it in verse 40, in verse 2, I'm sorry, in verse 2 of chapter 43. It's found really in three different spots where it says this: when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. So we can look at this verse and see a couple different promises, right? We can see the promise of God being with us. Right? Because it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. So again, God's going to be with you. He's going to protect you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. God's going to protect you. So we can see that promise of God walking with us and protecting us through the hardships and the battles of life. But the other promise that we see there, and the one I want to just direct our attention to momentarily, is the promise of when you pass through the waters, when you pass through the rivers, when you walk through the fires. It's not if, it is when. That's important. God never promised a problem-free life for us as followers of Christ. But he did promise a never alone life. Right? I will be with you. They will not sweep over you. You will not be burned. It's a never alone promise to us. Jeremiah echoes this truth, right? In a very familiar passage to many of us, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you hope and a future." These words weren't spoken during a time of celebration. They were spoken to people living in exile. God's promises are often clearest when our circumstances maybe feel the least secure. So looking back at God's faithfulness reminds us God has been faithful before. Like, I would encourage you early in this new year, like today, in the next couple days, just take a few moments and with somebody else, with a friend, with a child, with a parent, with a spouse, whoever it might be, spend just a few moments looking back and verbalizing God's faithfulness in the last year in your life. I think you'll find it to be an encouragement to yourself, a good reminder to yourself, but it might also be the reminder and encouragement that the person that you're sitting with needs as well as to God's faithfulness. When we take time to do this, we are reminded that if he's been faithful before, we have no reason to believe that he's not going to be faithful again. Now, I'm going to date myself, but that's okay. I grew up in an age where we had photo albums. So our parents took pictures, and they took pictures with cameras that had film in it, and they had to get it developed, and then they put them into photo albums. And we could then go through the photo albums and see everything that we did as kids. If you were the first child, you had 3 photo albums. If you're the second child, you had 2. If you're the third child, you had half. Sorry, Mom. My mom watches weekly, but... Today, our photo albums are on our phones, right? So we can pull out those photos and we can look through them and we can look back, and you can organize your photos on your phones by date so you can see back through the course of the last year, the last years. And as you look through, whether it be a physical photo album or the phone photo album, as you look through it, some of the pictures that you look at are probably going to bring you joy, right? They're going to make you smile. You're going to think, oh man, I remember this moment and this was such a great moment in life. And some are going to bring you some laughter as you look through them. You're going to see the haircuts of some of the other people in your lives, or the clothes that they used to wear, or whatever it might be. And you're going to laugh about some of those things. But then some might be difficult seasons that are represented or tied to those pictures. And they might bring maybe even some tears. But here's the thing. Every photo shares the same message. You belonged the whole time. God invites us to look back, not to relive pain, but to remember his presence and faithfulness in every season, in the seasons where we found joy, in the seasons where we found laughter, in the seasons that maybe a few tears were a part of. When we remember God's promises from the past, fear loosens its grip, and that confidence prepares us to face the present realities of life. That confidence allows us to persevere through present hardships. And that's number two if you're taking notes, is we need to persevere through present hardships. For many people, 2026 will bring opportunities for us to persevere through some hardships. Some of those hardships are coming along with us from last year, or 2024, or 2023, and we've just been holding on to them, and we've been living through them, and God's been walking with us through them. They haven't ended the way that we had hoped that they would end 3 years ago, maybe. But I can almost guarantee you that everybody in this room will have hardships in 2026 to different levels and different degrees. And I get that. But we will all face hardships in the year ahead. Faith doesn't eliminate struggle. It changes how we endure it, though. It should. In the Greek New Testament, word for perseverance is it's called hupomona, which means steady endurance under pressure. Steady endurance under pressure. Not quitting. Not collapsing. Not giving up when things get uncomfortable, when things are really hard, when the tears are flowing. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say believers won't feel pressure. He says pressures don't get the final word. And then James adds that in James 1 verse 3. It says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The testing of your faith, the testing of my faith produces perseverance. Over and over again throughout Scripture, we see illustrated to us the reality that testing doesn't destroy faith, it develops faith. Modern research tells us that most people don't quit because life is hard. They quit because they assume hard means wrong. Scripture tells a different story. Sometimes hard means holy work is happening. That God is doing some refining in us. That God is preparing us for something that is yet to come that we might not even know about. Think about the Israelites in the wilderness, right? They were free, but they were not home yet. They were saved, but still being shaped. And yeah, they complained. They complained a lot, which maybe encourages some of us. But here's the thing. The wilderness wasn't punishment. It was preparation. And often, God uses persistent pressure to shape future strength in our lives. I love what Charles Spurgeon once said. He said, by persistence, the snail reached the ark. Right? Not fast. Not flashy, just steady faithfulness. I have not had the pleasure of experiencing this, but I know many of you have because you've shared it with me. After an injury of doing physical therapy. And in almost every conversation I've ever had with somebody about physical therapy, people in my own family have done physical therapy, and I think that this was true in their situation, is physical therapy isn't a really comfortable thing. It's not something you go to and you're like, ah, this is great, this feels so wonderful on my freshly, whatever, broken shoulder. But instead, it can be a really painful thing. Like it's pushing you to the limits. So it almost hurts you in the moment of doing the physical therapy. But the reality is that pain, that hurt, is actually part of the healing process for you to bring complete healing to whatever was injured. And in the same way, perseverance, it's not pleasant. But God uses it to restore strength and build faith and to prepare us. As perseverance shapes us in the present, in the moment of today, it also prepares us for what's next. And that really brings us to the final thought that I want to share this morning. In 2026, there will certainly be times where we must press forward toward future possibilities. So the third thing we're talking about is pressing forward toward future possibilities. I want you to turn in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It'll be page 832. Page 832, Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 13, Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul isn't pretending that the past never happened. But, and like this is big letters, but, right? Capitalized letters. He's refusing to let it define his future. And we all have something to learn from that. The past does not define the future. Some of us struggle to move forward because we're holding on to things from the past. We're holding on to failures from the past. We're holding on to hurts from the past, from pain from the past. Maybe it's because we're holding on to successes from our past. But God never calls us to live looking over our shoulders at everything that's always happened. That's not how we're supposed to live our lives. Isaiah reminds us, "See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" New things often start small. They start quiet. They can even be easy to miss when God's doing a new thing, right? It's like a seed that we plant in the spring of some vegetables or flowers, and you put that seed in the ground, and when you plant it in the spring, they don't make any kind of great announcement when they go in the ground, right? They just quietly, steadily grow under the ground before they finally eventually break through. A new year isn't magic, but it is meaningful. It's an invitation for us to realign our priorities, to deepen our faith, to move forward with intentionality. Paul didn't drift into God's calling. He pressed into it. Forward faith doesn't require perfection. It requires direction. In our modern day automobiles, today. We have a very simple item that helps us to get to our destinations safely. And with all the technology we have in our cars, with all the sensors we have, with all the warning things that we have, man, my car, my wife's car, I drive it down the road, and maybe it's my driving. I think it's the car. I keep saying it's the car. I think it's the car. But man, I'll be driving, and it will just, like, it doesn't think I'm slowing down soon enough for the car in front of me, so it just hammers the brakes on for me. It drives me crazy. Like, we have all this technology. The one thing that hasn't changed in our modern day cars is we still have this little thing called a rear view mirror. Right? And that's so that we can kind of get the full 360. We can use the side mirrors and rear view mirror. We see out the front window. We can kind of see everything that's going on around us, and that helps us get to our destination safely. It helps us avoid things when we can check in the rear view mirror. It was probably a year ago, I was up on Hill Church Road turning left onto Weber Road, and I'm watching in the rearview mirror, I'm watching cars come towards me, I'm waiting for them to come, I'm watching in the rearview mirror, and there's this truck coming up behind me, and I am certain that he is not going to be stopping. And as I watch him get closer and closer and closer, finally I decided to turn off the signal, I'm going straight, and I hammered it, and I gunned it as fast as I could, and that rearview mirror allowed me to get to where I was going safely because I was able to have the full 360 view of what was going on. I avoided getting rear-ended in that situation. But the rearview mirror, it's just a small little tiny piece of equipment in our car. I think it's small for a reason. It's not intended for us to stare at for long periods of time. It shouldn't be our main focus when we're driving somewheres, right? We should be focusing on what? What's ahead of us? That's what gets our focus. God allows us to glance back, absolutely for wisdom, because we learn a lot from our past mistakes and from our past experiences. But he calls us to focus forward for direction. When we press forward in faith, we discover that God is already at work ahead of us, calling us to trust him with what is next. So I want to give you just a few practical ideas, a few practical application pieces as you go into the new year for you to consider. The first one is simply what I've already challenged you. I think it was during point number one, is take time to remember. Take time to remember. Take time to remember what God has already done in your life. Do it today. Do it this week. Verbally talk it out with somebody. Secondly, persevere one day at a time right now. Maybe you come into 2026 and man, you have a heavy load that you are bringing in with you. And I'm sorry if that's your reality today. My encouragement is face it a moment at a time, a day at a time. Maybe it's an hour at a time or 10 minutes at a time. But instead of focusing on the whole journey, just focus on seeing God's faithfulness in the moment, in the day. Thirdly, release what God has already redeemed. If there's stuff in your past and you've been forgiven for it, release it. Like, don't go back to that. Don't let it take up space in your head. You don't need to keep carrying it. If you believe that God has healed you from something emotionally, physically, whatever, and you're holding on to that, release it. It's done. God has healed those hurts, those pains. Trust him for that. And fourthly, press forward with one intentional step. You don't have to do everything. Just take the next faithful step in your journey of obedience to Jesus. Here's what I want you to know. The same God who redeemed you in the past, who walks with you in the present, and calls you forward into the future, that God, he has not changed. So remember his faithfulness. Persevere with courage and press on with hope as you go into 2026, because God is not finished with you yet. Your story is not over. Understand that. You are in the middle of a chapter. That's it. There's a whole book to still be written. Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness that anchors us, your presence that sustains us, your promises that call us forward. As we step into this new year, help us remember what you have done in the past. Help us to draw hope from what you have done in the past. Help us to be able to cling to the idea that the God that has done things in the past and shown himself faithful in the past will certainly do that in the future. Help us to persevere where you are shaping us today. Give us strength to walk through this day, to walk through this moment, to walk through this hour. Help us to trust you with what is next. We can make all the plans in the world, but at the end of the day, it's your plans that matter. Help us to trust you with what is next. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.